This is Mental Selling. This is the sales podcast for people that are dedicated to making a difference in customers' lives and have a purpose beyond just a paycheck. I'm your host, Will Milano. Let's get right into the show. Your brand is the sum of every single interaction a customer or a potential customer has with you. It's your promise to customers about how they'll be treated and the return that they'll receive from working with you. It's clarity about the business you're in, who you can help, and who you can't, and what's truly unique about you. Buyers are forming opinions about your brand with each and every touch point, and once an opinion is fully formed, for better or for worse, it can be hard to change. So who then owns the brand within companies, and why should brand matter to salespeople? Isn't that marketing's job? And what are some ways sales teams can be cultivating and leveraging their brand to gain access to and win more customers? Today, I'm talking with Vince Freeman and David Schweistahl. Vince and David are brand experts, and they're also co-hosts of the Brand Matter podcast, which I've become a big fan of. Vince and David, thank you both so much for talking with me today, and welcome to Mental Selling.
Great. Thanks, Will. It's great. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you, Will.
So let's get right into talking about brand, because both of you bring great perspectives on what brand means and why it matters so much. But you each also come at it with a slightly different lens. So David, you're more of the sales perspective, while Vince, your background is as a marketing leader. So let's first talk about just level setting, what brand is and is not, so we can help people get really clear about what we're talking about. Because you guys both know this. Too often, the knee-jerk reaction to any discussion about brand is what, right? It's logos, colors, ads, taglines, that sort of thing. And it's so much more than that, isn't it?
From a sales perspective, I think brand is the promise to the marketplace that an organization has. And it's all-encompassing. It is your logo. It is all those things. But it is also your reputation. It is your positioning statement. It is what you represent. And I think that as a salesperson, that if we don't buy into the brand, that's a major problem. And I think that one of our jobs is to represent that brand.
Similar to how, as a salesperson, you have to have a deep belief in the products that you're selling, right? You also elevated above that sort of a couple layers is the brand, that you have to really have a big belief in the brand that you're representing. Because one way or the other, that's going to come across, right?
I think you do. If you're authentic, and that's all we've been talking about lately is authenticity in marketing, authenticity in sales, authenticity in brand. We're the brand ambassadors as salespeople. The brand is created perhaps by the marketing department. It's represented in social media platforms. It's represented in advertising platforms. But then as salespeople, when we walk in, we're that brand ambassador, and we need to represent that which has been communicated to our marketplace one person at a time.
You're right, because a big aspect of brand that I've always believed is it's about how you show up in the room in front of customers day to day, and salespeople are very typically the people that are in the room with customers, especially before they've signed on to be a customer.
I think salespeople have a reputation for being kind of rogue. I'm going to go and represent me, and I want you to like me, and I want to build rapport. And not to say that those things don't have their place, but we need to represent ourselves and our organization and the brand. And we need to have a congruent message for that brand.
And we're going to talk a little bit later about the difference between your company's brand and your personal brand, which is important too. But Vince, what would you add about the role and weight that brand carries today from your standpoint?
I guess the classical definition is branding is a solid and complete idea of who you are that's held in the marketplace. And I think the thing that took me a while for a marketer to learn, it's not who we say the company is, it's who they think the company is that defines the brand. So kind of like fighting for this, and not to be a pun on our podcast name, but it's about brain matter, right? It's that mental space that we're vying for of how they perceive our company. That's the brand. You own that, then that's really hard for your competitors to take that ground, because it's based on that combination of customer experience and thoughts and feelings and emotions and intellect all bundled together in that mental real estate of how they think about your organization.
And it typically comes back to an emotional experience that somebody has. It's that gut feeling, because as much as we want, both as marketers and as salespeople, for people to remember like our whole boilerplate statement or all those great messages that are in our corporate brochure or on our homepage, that sort of thing, the reality is there's very little headspace for somebody when it comes to thinking about your brand. It's typically something really specific. And a lot of times it's that last mile or that last interaction that maybe they had with the salesperson that sticks out to them, and bang, that's your brand.
I absolutely think that's true. And brand is continually being built, right? Every experience is an opportunity to build upon that brand. And I'm dating myself even by saying this, but I got the reputation in the company that I work for not checking my voicemails. And my sales vice president, two or three times, he'd come out twice a year, travel with us. And two or three times he mentioned in a row that I don't check my voicemails. And I said, that was over a year ago. I check my voicemails all the time. You know that I've responded to them. So that thought is, it was just that one experience that I didn't check my voicemails. And he, for an entire year, had it in his mind, in his experience with me, that I don't check my voicemails. It didn't have any bearing on reality, but it was his reality. And that's my thought in terms of every opportunity to build a brand and every opportunity to tear down or erode that brand as well.
I've always felt that people buy experiences and not products. And I think that is where the rubber meets the road in brand. One of the things we talked about on our show is this concept of brand harmony. And it's where what the company says it is, the way it operates and the way its culture operates, and the experience that the customer has, when those are all in alignment, that's brand harmony. And the opposite is brand erosion. And to that point, a bad experience, it just erodes the brand.
Because what you're talking about, it's the brand promise, right? It's living up to what you say you're going to be. Something I learned a long time ago is that good brands should be aspirational, right? It's not necessarily where you are in this moment, but it's what you're trying to evolve your organization into and live up to. And I think the best brands always have that sort of aspirational aspect to them. So something you guys talked about actually in one of your recent episodes of the Brand Matter podcast, and it relates to the role that brand plays for both sales and marketing as it relates to the traditional nice, neat sales funnel of the past that doesn't really exist anymore, right? But the reality is the way customers engage with you is very much jumping around, jumping in and out of that funnel. So as it pertains to things like the traditional sales funnel and the way that's been disrupted, what is the role that you think brand plays there?
I think you've hit on a topic that we've spoken of many times, as you mentioned, is how the roles have become blurred. And I know personal branding is a hot topic these days. But many times I'm personal branding, hoping to enter in the top of the funnel I don't even know about, so that I'm a subject matter expert. I'm seen as a potential person they might want to do business with, that they've seen as a human being, all those different aspects of my brand that then would say, hey, now that we're in the marketplace, who do we want to call? Who do we want to talk to? So I think that the lines have been blurred between sales and marketing, where salespeople need to think more like marketers and marketers need to think more like salespeople.
I think to that end, salespeople may have had the lead on that because I think salespeople for a long time have been enlightened that it's about relationship, about experience. Marketers, especially with the advent of digital marketing and this concept of the funnel and these customer journey paths, right? That the fallacy is that it was this linear path that we would lead these breadcrumbs, like trying to catch the bird under the box with the stick under it. You just lay it in and hopefully it walks in. We got them. And I think we've realized the funnel's a lot more complex than that. And even the data people like Google have understood that when they start talking about attribution marketing and attribution data. And I had the realization it really is, it's less of a marketing funnel. And what we're talking about is a brand funnel, where every level of that funnel, if you will, is a consistent brand experience.
Yeah, the attribution thing can drive you nuts, right? Whether you're in sales or marketing. But if you're in a complex selling environment that involves multiple people from the buyer or customer side over a long sales cycle, stop looking for that one thing, because it never was one thing that got somebody to find you, engage with you, find you credible. Like you were saying, David, the whole aspect of being subject matter expert and a thought leader. And to your point, Vince, trying to get somebody to follow your trail of breadcrumbs on your schedule isn't realistic. They're going to form that opinion about you. You're going to stay top of mind with them, and you can't really force that dialogue before they're ready. They're going to let you know. And that sort of gets to the next thing I wanted to talk about, which is we've all read things that say that buyers are a certain percentage of their way down the sales process before they ever engage with a salesperson. They're self-educating, they're learning about what you do, who you've worked with, what your other customers think of you, how you stack up against competition, all that sort of stuff. And you can read those. There's reports of buyers are whatever, 58% away the way through the sales cycle before they talk to sales, or they're 72%, whatever the number is. I don't know how you actually calculate that, but I think the broader concept is accurate, is it not? That whatever percentage it is before they talk to a salesperson, that's your brand at work, is it not?
I think that it is back to that point that the immutables are that nobody wants to be sold. And then I think now what's happened is nobody wants to be marketed to either. I always think like marketing is like this wilderness, and some marketer comes up with this play that works, like email marketing, right? Hey, everybody follow me. And everybody runs that and beats the path down until that path is no longer a path. It's just a muddy trench, right? And it doesn't work anymore. And I think we're at that point. And especially with the advent of some of the privacy issues, Apple's impact on the Facebook game, and what can and cannot be tracked, the old tricks of the trade just don't work. And frankly, maybe they shouldn't. And I think we're at this point now where, back to that word, authenticity and true relationships and being true to who your company is and cultural alignment, all those things that are playing that is brand. And brand is the fertilizer in the funnel. It is the substance that the funnel's made of. It's the thing that's going to bring the people to create the velocity to the funnel, if you will, as people go out on their own, trying not to be sold or trying not to be marketed to, but ending up in your funnel. It is that brand.
We've seen in recent years that an unfortunate growing mistrust of a lot of things that you see online, a lot of just institutions, that sort of thing. And it gets harder and harder, both from a sales and marketing standpoint, to get people to engage. You know, like how hesitant now are people to fill out forms on your website or from an ad? People are so much more hesitant and resistant to doing those things because they fear that they're going to get beaten into submission if they do, that somebody's going to be hounding them 75 times the minute that they make themselves known. And so much of the brand is putting yourself out there without forcing the buyer or potential customer's hand to make themselves known. They're going to make themselves known on their time.
I think Seth Godin just wrote a book about ethical marketing, but I think that we used a lot of the tools like weapons, whether it's you don't really have a right to email me, or I mean, look what marketers have done to LinkedIn, for example. I'm hesitant to contact with people because I know what's going to happen next. And it's, is this really a relationship or is this person just trying to sell me something? And 9 out of 10 times, they're just trying to sell me something. And so I think marketing's kind of dug its own grave to that extent. But I think that then the future is bright, then that the only alternative is authenticity. And it is that the authentic brands are going to rise to the surface, so to speak.
I wonder if I've been thinking about this, and I really don't know the answer, although I have a pretty strong hypothesis. How much has really changed in the sales game? Hasn't the buyer always been in control? Hasn't the buyer always decided when you've entered into the funnel and when you haven't entered into the funnel? The main difference I can think of is at one point the buyer needed the information that I had on the industry, on the latest things, because we had a bigger perspective than they did. And so they would let their guard down to learn. And that was it. And sometimes you'd sneak in the back door, you'd develop a relationship. And then, you know, they still controlled the funnel, but you had access. And I think the main difference might be I don't have access anymore. They don't need my information. They don't need me to get information. They can get all they want and more on the internet. And that's a bigger perspective than I have. I think sales is getting its comeuppance, if you will, from thinking we had control. I'm following my sales process and this prospect or customer, they don't have any control over what's going to happen. I'm driving it. I don't think we ever really were driving it. I think we were just allowed in by dumb luck sometimes and by the need for information, and it worked in our benefit.
You know, I think that's what's scrambled things a little bit. Will, you touched on it when you talked about how the funnel has changed. It used to be very clear. It was the whole like awareness, interest, engagement. And I think now because that top of the funnel can be sought out by the customer and they can do all that on our own, then what we've tried to do as sales and marketing people is how can we push that personal engagement piece up to the top of the funnel? How do we climb up the funnel then, whether it's through webinars or mini courses or some experience of me, experience of the brand that you can stumble into, right? That used to be down in the engagement level where sales lived. Now we're trying to stick that up at the top.
And you talked about what marketing and sales have done to things like LinkedIn. The people that succeed and do well on LinkedIn are those that, like with anything in thought leadership, they are adding value and bringing perspectives with no strings attached. They're using their perspectives that they're sharing on social media as a gift without expecting anything in return, knowing that if they do it enough and they get in front of the right people and they're authentic, that the opportunities are going to come. It used to be that salespeople had to disseminate all the product knowledge and talk about who you've worked with and all those things. And that relates to what I wanted to talk about next, because I think a problem a lot of salespeople have is they don't lead with what's truly unique about their brands. They get into that habit of leading with the table stakes stuff, where they work, how long the company's been in business. They show a list of their customer logos, all that stuff that, you know what, all your competitors have too. So what's the role that brand can play in the sales process? And what does it look like when the salesperson actually does finally get that meeting? What should salespeople be paying attention to and focusing on when it comes to establishing the brand once they actually get in front of a potential customer?
I think, having just come from a sales presentation myself, I was all about what are you trying to accomplish with why I'm here? This group of people called me and said, hey, can you put together some ideas? I put together some ideas. I sent them over. Can you bring in the samples and show us what they actually look like? Great. I brought them in there. And every single sample was a dud. And everyone in that meeting was so nice that they didn't want to tell me they didn't like them. And I said, listen, I only have one feeling and you're probably not going to hurt it. So you can be honest with me, and I have no pride of authorship. Where are you going? Who is the average person who's coming? Tell me about what they're like. Tell me about what are you going to do? What time of day are you going to do it? Where are you going? When are you going? All these different kinds of things that they were like, huh, I never thought of that. I told them, I see my role as protagonist. You tell me what you want, and I'll tell you what other people have done that support that and maybe some other ideas that you've never thought of before. But at the end of the day, we get to do what you want. We're going to do what your team comes up with as a consensus. So my point is, I really only want to help them be successful in whatever it is that they're doing, to whatever extent that they'll let me. So I want to just ask as much as I can, you know, to come to find out they were looking at jackets and they were going to Arizona in the summertime. And I said, let's look at the average temperature, high and low, average rainfall. You don't need a jacket. I think if we start off with the idea of, I want to help you solve a problem. And if I can't help you solve the problem myself personally, I want to find somebody that can help you solve the problem.
Again, your brand is the feeling that a customer takes away from every interaction. And in the interaction with a salesperson, especially early on, they've got to feel like you're there, again, in a very authentic way, keep going back to that word, to help them solve problems and help uncover needs that maybe you alluded to this, like maybe that they haven't even considered yet.
So from a company's brand standpoint, I see that as, okay, you do the brand pyramid exercise and you get to the top of brand essence. You know, it's like, okay, some companies like sell convenience, some companies sell peace of mind, whatever those aspirational things are. What you just described, David, is that company brand or is that personal brand or both?
Yeah. Why does that have to be either or?
Yeah. They're equating those interactions with you, the person as a salesperson, but also your company that you're representing. There is an overlapping piece to that. You know, the overlap between the company brand and the personal brand, both are very important. And especially as salespeople, you've got to focus on establishing your own personal brand in one-to-one meetings, on social media, all those sorts of things, while at the same time, you've got a responsibility to do what you can to help elevate the profile of the organization and the company too, right?
I think every salesperson thinks, at some point in their career, if they've been in sales long enough, well, if I left here, how many customers could I take from company A to company B? And I believe that every salesperson thinks the number is much higher than in reality that it is. And I think that's because I have built a personal brand, but I have also built that company brand. And as customers become less willing to be marketed to and sold to, they overestimate what they're getting and underestimate what you can bring that would be different right off the bat. So in terms of if you're doing a good job of building your personal brand and representing your company brand, then you're cementing loyalty to you and you're cementing loyalty to the company that you work for. And I think you owe it to the company that you work for to do that.
Is there a dividing line or at least clearly delineated but overlapping pieces when it comes to sales and marketing's role in building and maximizing a company's brand? To me, I've always said the yin and yang of sales and marketing is basically the percentage of time that each one spends on the here and now versus the longer term. And sales by nature focuses much more on this week, this month, this quarter, right? And marketing spends a lot of its time on where are we going to be 12, 18, 24 months from now. And neither of those perspectives are wrong, right? But a lot of times one side doesn't really understand why the other is spending so much time on one versus the other. But brand by nature has to be viewed as longer term future investment that requires continual feeding and caring for. And so for salespeople, part of brand is, again, that how you show up in the room thing and how high up in the organization you're perceived as being able to position yourself and be able to play. You know, is it those things, you know, or is it the degree to which they are prescriptive or not, how proactive they are? Like, what are the sort of traits, personality traits of salespeople that sort of stick out from a personal brand standpoint? What do you think that they're doing differently?
First of all, I think the relationship between marketing and sales is more like a marriage than it's ever been before. I think it's a both, and I think there's subtle differences between the two partners. I do think that salespeople, because they tend to, even no matter how jumbled the funnel is and at what point they enter, they're usually, hopefully, the point at which the deal closes, right? And so it ends with them. And so they have to live more in the moment, in the present, where I think then that marketing's the mate that looks back and makes sure that we're consistent and that everybody's getting along and the household's happy and everything's cohesive and how it goes together. Now with that, I think that balance between the cohesion of the company brand and then the added part of the personal brand of the salesperson is where it all comes together. You know, it's like where the needle meets the vinyl. It is that point. And David called himself a brand ambassador. It's that, okay, that the salesperson is that final physical manifestation of the brand that hopefully is going to consummate in a deal. So I think that's really important.
I just want to add one thing to the sales and marketing is sales, if we're not humble, then we start to think that what I'm hearing from my customer is the only thing. The here and now is the only thing. And I think marketing done well is, for lack of a better way to say this, they're seeing around the corner, right? They're seeing what could be coming. And they're saying, start talking about these things because these are things that are going to be important. And salespeople, if they're not humble, will say, none of my customers are saying that right now. And the answer from marketing is, I know they're not, but they're going to be because of the marketing data and because of the research and what the market is saying. So I think one of those personality traits is humility. And I think the other one is curiosity, especially in complex sales. Who else is involved? What are their goals? Can we meet with them? Can we have this conversation? And not having all the answers. And I think those two, curiosity and humility, are hand in glove, right? If I'm not humble, I'm not curious. If I don't ask the questions, I don't know the answers, and I make a lot of assumptions.
It's not this nice, neat handoff, right? There's no baton that as you're coming around the bend that marketing is just handing to sales, because as we're talking about, the brand building, the brand awareness process early on has to involve the sales organization, individual salespeople. Just once you've landed a new customer, marketing's job doesn't end. It's just begun. A big part of marketing's role is around ongoing customer engagement and retention so that you can cultivate those relationships long term. So that's where, like you were saying, Vince, there's so much overlap. And it's not a like, this is my job up to this point, and then I'm going to give it to you. Both sides have one foot in each camp.
Yeah. And I would add a third trait that I think is just imperative to today's salesperson, and that's empathy. Because the client, although they've used the power of the internet to enter the funnel themselves and to drive the education process themselves, it doesn't mean that they necessarily wanted that. It's just the way things are right now because they didn't want to be sold. So it's a counter to that. And although they may seem confident when they engage with sales, chances are they're probably deeply insecure about their ability to make the decision. It's a vast landscape, and you know, everybody's out there saying the same thing, and they got a lot of noise in their ears, and they got a lot of options to choose from, and there's a lot of weight on that decision. So I think unless sales meets with those traits of humility and listening wrapped in empathy, makes it very hard for the customer.
Something you said, David, that I want to reemphasize, and it goes back to the legacy sales funnel thing, which is who else in the organization is involved in the decision-making process, right? And the more complex the sale, the more people are involved. And it's not the responsibility of that individual that maybe you're engaging with to tell you what that landscape is. You've got to go do that legwork, that homework for yourself, right? And go establish those relationships and not rely on that quote-unquote lead to handhold you. And you've got to be curious and empathetic and all those things in order for that to happen.
And almost every sale today of anything is complex because of what's involved, especially if you're making a change. If you're asking your prospect or customer to make a change, it's going to be a complex sale because there's a lot that they have at risk to change.
And risk is one of the key terms there, right? If it's about change, one of the things that you have to convey as a brand, as a salesperson, is risk mitigation, right? That this decision of me going with you to do X or purchase Y, whatever it might be, that I'm not going to get burned on it. It's going to make me look good, and it's going to do what you say, what you're claiming it's going to do.
I think a salesperson says, you have pain. Hey, I have a solution. What a great combination. You have pain, I have solution. When in reality, the gap between those two is a mile wide. right? I have pain, but you're just a solution. You're not the solution. And how can we help close that gap and lower the risk aversion, if you will, a step at a time to where now really is, I have a pain and you have the solution. And it's just a short leap from here to there. It's not a mile wide chasm.
A lot of the times, the person that has been sent into the funnel to do the education is not the decision maker. So it's almost you got a funnel after your funnel that you have to help lead them through so that they can present their internal case. And then it makes, like you said, David, that gap between the solution and the pain harder because their pain isn't necessarily the pain of the decision maker. And you're ultimately selling to the pain of the decision maker. This person's pain might just be, my job's on the line. I got to get this right.
And so many people, salespeople, are out hunting for pain that, right? It's like what you said earlier, Vince. Somebody found a path through. Let's talk about their pain. And now let's beat it to death. So the prospect knows you're looking for that. And they don't necessarily trust you to tell you right off the bat. Or like they've sent somebody else to find the facts and they don't even know what the pain is.
Well, and like you said, the salespeople have to be proactive, not reactive, not just sitting back waiting for, well, they'll ask me questions, but you're proactively sort of raising a flag and asking them to follow you through the crowd to what's possible because of that great fear of change that so many buyers have, which relates to risk mitigation. Because, and I hear this a lot from salespeople, and I think absolutely true. Like a lot of companies, your biggest competitor is not another company. The biggest competitor is inertia or the status quo because they're just afraid of doing it. So they do nothing. That's typically a salesperson's biggest competitor. And that, I think, from a brand standpoint, the salespeople that stand out are those that sort of can best help assuage those fears and anxieties, right?
That's where sales can make the difference in the funnel, right? I think when people enter the funnel on their own and marketing has done its job and the brand is working, there's a certain aspect of velocity that's going on. But then you get to show my age and quote an old sales book, the chasm. It's like, is there enough pain to jump or is there enough attraction on the other side to jump? Really, it's sales in that person's ear at that time that I think makes the difference.
And that's where I think, again, it's not a nice, neat delineation, but it's where, you know, marketing is probably influencing more upfront of the, are these guys credible? Are they a leader in their industry? You know, that sort of thing to get you to the table and maybe help, you know, advance an opportunity early on and get you to be a finalist, whatever the case may be. But what you're talking about is absolutely the getting them over the finish line in that regard. It's by and large the experience with the sales rep. From each of your perspectives, you know, David, you come at it more with a sales lens, Vince, from a marketing lens. What's the biggest misconception or wrong assumption that you've each seen when it comes to branding?
I think it's, and you can blame both sales and marketing, maybe the organization for it, it's missing that third leg of the stool. It's understanding that unless leadership and the culture of the organization buy into the brand, it doesn't matter what sales and marketing do, right? It's that customer experience is not going to be there. And so maybe then that comes from maybe it can be an arrogance in marketing to think that they're the keepers and the sole owners of the brand. I think that's a naive, limited mindset. And I'll let David speak to the sales side of that.
What I would say is that I would have the control over it. That any one person or any one department would have control over the brand. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, you know, the culture. We throw around the word culture. Culture is brand. Culture is internal brand, yeah. Right? From a branding standpoint, your brand is out there on Glassdoor. It's on Yelp. Mm-hmm. It's on all these different sites of what it's like to work there. That's already out there, that aspect of brand. In other words, the brand used to be, which, Will, you started out talking about your logo, your colors, your font, how we apply it, the space around the logo, et cetera, et cetera. Now that wall, if you will, is gone.
Yeah.
Your brand is out there for everybody to see. And all you can do is control yourself in that brand and then try to achieve, from a leadership standpoint, try to achieve brand harmony when the external and the internal brand are congruent. But that anybody, any one person, any one department could control brand is a fallacy to me.
I guess I've always sort of equated brand to, you know, if you study economics, like Adam Smith and the invisible hand concept in economics, which is a metaphor for all the unseen forces that move a free market economy. Your brand is similar in that there's so many unseen forces and instances and touch points that influence an initial sale and whether or not the customer stays with you long term. You can never truly know all the ways that a customer has come to know you or form an opinion about you. You said, David, like Glassdoor. To some people, looking at your Glassdoor profile or your LinkedIn profile or, you know, any of those things is really important. And to others, it's not. You've got to sort of meet your customers and potential customers where they are. And the challenge is, both from a sales and marketing standpoint, is paying attention to all those things, because you don't know what the weight is that a buyer is going to place on each of those individual things. So you better pay attention to all of them and be in all those places and make it easy for them to find you and to like what they see when they do find you, right?
From a leadership standpoint, I would encourage leaders to think that brand leaks.
Brand leaks?
Brand leaks. Yeah, it leaks out. I forget about it. I need to talk about it often. You know, hey, you did a great job. Why did you do a great job? Because it supported the internal and the external brand of the organization. So thank you for doing that. In meetings, talk about the brand, talk about the culture, talk about what you stand for, who you are, because I think the natural inclination is we leak out.
But to that point, I think another mistake that sales, marketing, and leadership can make is that brand is static. It's set, it's fixed. It's not, it's very fluid. And so like the laws of gravity and entropy, whether you want to call it leaks or erosion or whatever, that can dissipate over time as the company is successful even. I think back, probably one of the greatest examples of brand harmony I've been part of was the owner of this company, the first printing company he had. He was only like a $3 million printing company at that time. And he realized that the number one pain in the marketplace was that printing normally missed their deadlines. And so he came up and said, on time or it's free. So that was the message that marketing put out in the marketplace. It's the way the sales rep sold. And everybody in the organization knew that's what we're all about. And they went from 3 million to 20 million like in no time. But the counter of that is that a lot of companies may start with that alignment and that harmony. But over time, and even through success, sales kind of gets soft. They're not pushing. They're not selling the same message. They want to do more. They want to sell more. Marketing just then gets a little more, hey, yeah, it was about this, but we do all these things too. New staff come on board, new people in leadership. And some people remember, hey, it was about being on time. Some might be, no, we do custom widgets, or no, we do on time widgets, or we do widgets plus, right? And all these different perceptions of the why and the energy and the exact focus of the brand start to creep in. And so the brand loses its steam.
The best brands are ones that constantly evolve and iterate. And one of the worst things you can do is not evolve, right? Because then your brand comes to be perceived as static, old, dated, you know, that sort of thing. The last thing I wanted to ask you both about is, from both a sales and marketing standpoint, what are some of the best ways for companies to learn really honestly about what their brand actually is and is not? Because you guys touched on it earlier, saying you can come up with what you think your brand is, but your brand is in actuality what people on the outside think it is. What are some of the best ways, whether it's a, you know, from a marketing strategy standpoint, but from an individual salesperson standpoint in territory, how can you best learn about how your brand is perceived today? Because internally, everybody's going to have opinions about a brand's strength and its weaknesses and what the true story is. But it's from that outside in perspective that you have to get your arms around.
I think one of the best pieces of advice we had a guest tell us, David, was He said, after your prospect makes the decision to buy, ask them how they got there. Ask them what their journey was all the way through. How'd you find us? How'd you do the research? And through our relationship, why did you finally decide to buy? And I thought, God, that's such common sense, but I've never thought of it. Because you always think the deal's done. It worked. It was all me. I don't need to learn anymore.
Well, that's a really good example of the role that sales can play in helping support the brand, is helping to uncover those things, right? Like, what was it? Why did you ultimately pick us? It's sort of a simple question, but it's not, right? It can be very profound in the answer you get.
We make assumptions that we already know.
And many salespeople think it's me. I think the same thing could be held true by asking clients who left, clients who no longer do business. Why did you decide to go somewhere else? And when they say price, then try to get a little deeper than that, because everybody says price, right?
And maybe it's not even a customer that you've lost competitively, but it could be a customer just through the sort of natural cycle of your relationship, just sort of faded away over time. Mm-hmm. But going back to those people that maybe develop some space away from you, that can give you that perspective of, you know, what was the good and bad and the ugly of working with you.
I think if the heart of your question is, what is that light switch perspective change that an organization could have about branding that takes them from good to great? And I think too many companies that believe that branding is about, because it comes from that naive understanding of logo and font and colors. So they think that brands are built from the outside in. And I think the companies really get it, understand that brands are built from the inside out. I think good branding campaigns start internally first, that everybody's on board, and then they're projected outward. So I think it's that behavior of, asking, are we being perceived right, but making sure that cultural alignment from leadership to sales to operations, everybody understands who you are and why you're better than anybody else.
Yeah, because every company and every salesperson, like, you have a brand. It's a matter of how much you're willing to pay attention to it and cultivate it and care for it or not, because you can ignore it at your peril. You can not deal with it, but a brand is still out there.
I just had that conversation with somebody about personal brand, and we've said it before on our show. You have a personal brand, whether you recognize it or not. The question is, are you going to drive the story, or are you going to let the marketplace determine the story?
Thank you for listening, and I really hope you've enjoyed this episode of Mental Selling. Please make sure that you're subscribed, and as always, leave us a comment or a rating. Share it with your networks. You'll get more content like this on our website at integritysolutions.com. Until next time, I'm Will Milano with Integrity Solutions. Thanks very much again for being with us.